You're listening to Talking Teesdale, a regular podcast covering Barnard Castle and the surrounding villages. Brought to you in association with the Witham Community Arts Centre.
So here we are again. How are we doing, Jane, this week?
I'm all right, Stuart. What about you?
You're looking a bit stressed and a bit tired and a bit, you know... Have you been working?
Just a little bit.
Just a bit? I mean,
just covering... Yeah. Yes, I'm doing more than my own job at the moment, but it's all going fine.
It's all good.
Nothing's fallen off. Nothing's...
Oh, well, nothing's burnt down.
No.
Splendid. Oh, that's all good. We've got a busy show this week, busy podcast this week. Buoyed by the success of our 15 seconds of fame following Louise's visit last week to Filmers.
Yes,
We've made it onto TikTok, folks. We're talking...
Bet you thought you'd never say that.
I know. We're talking proper filming this week.
Right.
One of our guests this week is Robbie Eden, whose film The Teesdale Way, The Witham, is premiering later on in the month, and a really interesting chat we had with him.
Good, good.
And what else? Who else have we got? We've got comedy as well.
Yes, lots of comedy in The Witham.
Lauren Pattinson will be along to tell us about her new show, Big Girl Pants.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they bring back some memories for you.
What, wearing big girl pants? They were green when I was at school. I'd have green pants.
That's far too much information. So Lauren will be along to tell us all about that later. And we'll be chatting to Peter Dixon about his Edinburgh preview shows, which begin at the end of the month as well.
Good, fun packed show.
And then you'll be back a bit later with a couple of special announcements.
Oh, yes.
Let's say no more for now.
No. Oh, exciting.
So plenty coming up, and we're going to start with an interview with Rob Eden, who tells how what started out as a favour to a couple of mates has ended up in a rather splendid new film. Filmmaker Rob Eden joins us for the podcast this week to talk about his new film, The Teesdale Way. So I think it's probably just as easy for me to say over to you, Rob, and explain what the film's all about.
Okay, so it all came about through lockdown when... two of my friends, really into ultra running, long distance running over 50 miles or more. They were registered for different races, competitions, and then COVID hit and they all got cancelled. And they were like, what are we going to do? We're in Teesdale. We love running. And one of them, Tom, came up with the idea to run the Teesdale Way, which is for people who don't know, it follows the course of the River Tees from the very start in Dufton all the way out to the sea at South Gare, and it's 96 miles. So they decided that they would try and do it in one go, because a lot of people have walked it. They might take 5 days or so, but they were going to try and be the first people to do it in a wanna.
So just introduce these guys who decided to do this. Who are they?
Okay, so firstly, we've got Tom Watson. He lives through in like Newton Aycliffe. And then there's Owen Davis, who lives in Barnard Castle. And they know each other through music, mainly. There was a band called the Watty Boys that was fronted by Dave Watson. Yeah, I think Tom drums in that band, Owen plays guitar. And in fact, a lot of this film's been brought together by music. So my brother, Andrew, was involved. He was the driver on the day. And we've got my friend Toby ran as the support runner, who I've met through music. And the soundtrack's also been done by, you might know the band Uncle Bob that I used to play in. Our lead singer, Rick, it goes under the name Richard Luke. He does film soundtracks. So he's... very kindly done the whole soundtrack for this film, and it's quite a beautiful soundscape.
Was the idea always to film this this adventure?
Well, it wasn't really. So what's sort of strange about the film is that they've actually attempted it 3 times. The first time they got all the way to Yarm, which is about 60 odd miles in, and just gave up because it just rained nonstop. And then the second time they did it, they managed to complete it, but it took over 26 hours. So the third time they were like, we really want to try and do it under 24 hours. And then Owen got in touch with me and said it would be a really nice idea to film it. Now, in his head, he just meant, you know, me turning up and getting a few snaps, a few stops or whatever. But I don't know what happened. I think my wife got involved and said, oh, we should interview them before it. And then we filmed it on the day and I had the drones and I gave cameras to like five different people. And then we ended up interviewing them after. And it sort of grew and grew and became this whole film.
And so it's premiering later this month at the Witham. What's the plans for it after that? Are you going down the route of taking it into festivals or anything like that?
I don't know. I don't have any plans as such. I'm not like, it's the first film I've made, but I don't have like ambitions to be a filmmaker or anything. It was just like this opportunity I got. And I've just made this piece that I just really like it. And I just want to show it to people. So at the moment, the premiere at the Witham is the only place to see it as such for the moment.
So are you not even going to sort of put it up on YouTube or something like that so people can see it?
Yeah, I think down the line it will go in there. I might put it in for some festivals at first, and then yeah, it'll be available somewhere. I'll let people know.
Yeah, was it a difficult thing to film?
It was really hard. Yeah, I mean, because like some of the most iconic scenes, like Hike Up Nick and Cauldron Snout, I really wanted to get them in, but for them running, you know, they could get from Hike Up Nick in to Cauldron Snout like relatively quickly, but in a car it was like impossible. You'd have to drive back to Dufton all the down the A66, so that we just had to be strategic, like what could we actually capture. So we ended up rushing to High Force and got a bit there. So yeah, it was a lot of it's, you know, they have rest stops, so I'm like capturing them coming into the rest stops and then launching the drone and off they go. And It's. I think when you watch it, you'll be like, how is that filmed with one person? Yeah,
it's not really the sort of thing you can go back for a second take with either, is it really?
No, what they've done is done. So yeah, the only extra bits we could get were sort of interviews and bits of B-roll afterwards to fill in some gaps and stuff.
Is it a cliffhanger? Am I spoiling anything by asking whether they did actually complete it in under 24 hours?
You'll have to watch the film, but yeah, I put a trailer out, which it teases it. It mainly shows really beautiful footage of Teasdale, yeah. But the actual story is really quite interesting. It's more about like the relationship between these two guys, a friendship, and like what happens to you doing an ultra run. You know, you start off and everything, the sun's out, it's all, you're in beautiful Teasdale. And then, you know, as the day goes on, they get tighter and tighter and the journey like goes into more industrial Teesside and it gets dark and there's all these needles on the floor and rubbish. And yeah, it's kind of crazy. But the story's more about the way Tom and Owen interact with each other. But yeah, I won't give away what happens. You'll have to see it.
Can't wait. You say this is the first time you've done anything like this. Has it whetted the appetite at all? Do you see yourself doing more sort of substantial filming, if I put it that way?
I don't know. Like for my work, I mainly make videos that are 15 to 30 seconds long. So this is like a 48-minute film. I think I would only do it again if just something came up that really interested me in me, like Owen ringing me up and saying, I'm doing this thing. That straight away to me was like, wow, yeah, I want to film that. But for now, I'm open, you know, whether I do or not.
It's a case of if something interesting comes along that sort of piques the interest more than anything else, rather than you going out thinking, I must make another film about something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and I presume you must be very happy with the end product that you've come up with.
Yeah, I'm really happy with it. It's taken like, it's been 3 years since they attempted it, so it's taken a long time. I spent a lot of time on it. My wife's been really heavily involved. Like at first the film, it just had this like 2-minute intro to Tom and Owen, and then it just kicked in with them doing the run. But she was like, no, we need to find out about Tom and Owen, who they are, what motivates them to do these crazy runs. So it's sort of grown, and it has this nice long intro telling the story of them both and how they came to be doing it. So that's sort of grown. And then, yeah, getting Rick involved to do the soundtrack, you know, that takes a lot of time. I think there's over 20 different music cues in it that he's had to compose, and he's properly like composed them to fit exactly to the start and stops of each bit. We've had my friend Jeremy Simon's been doing all the graphics and these really nice maps of the River Tees and the dotted line going along, and you see how far they are in the run. So yeah, no, it's taken a while.
So it's obviously developed from what you started out with, just you and a couple of mates. You know, we're going to run the Teesdale Way. Come and film it. You know, it's obviously sort of grown and grown since then.
Yeah, it has, and it never meant to, but it just, I think because what happens on the day is so interesting, it felt a waste just to cobble it together. I was like, well, we've got something really good here. We've got some really nice footage. The drone footage is, if I may say so myself, it's just really lovely if all the shots along the way. It was like, we've got to make this into something proper, I think.
Yeah. I'm taking it that Owen and Tom are still running.
They are, yeah. I mean, these things are crazy. They're like, it's like it knocks them out for like 3 months after. They can only do like 4 a year because it just completely batters their body. So, you know, they're going out and they're doing their little runs around Teesdale stuff. I don't know if they have any plans to do anything as big again, but yeah, it just, the toll it takes on your body on these things is just like, Owen was kept sending us WhatsApp videos of his like toenails falling out week after week. Oh, another one's gone. Yeah.
Did it help that you knew the Teesdale Way and you knew the route more or less?
Yeah, my brother was really helpful. Andrew, he ended up being the driver, so he knew it quite intimately. And I guess Owen and Tom, because they'd already attempted it twice before, they knew it better and better. But yeah, there was definitely like having lived there, knowing different areas and spots we could like park up and do, that was good. And yeah, it was just really nice to be at a film where I grew up.
Oh, brilliant. So we can't wait to see the end product and find out how it pans out at the end. But but for now, Rob, thanks ever so much for joining us.
Brilliant. Thanks very much.
And the Teesdale Way receives its premiere at the Witham on Monday, May the 26th. Tickets are available now. Check out the website www.thewitham.org.uk for details.
Hi, this is Louise, Queen of Social Media, and you're listening to Talking Teesdale with Stuart and Jane.
And so to comedy. Coming up, I'm chatting to Peter Dixon about his forthcoming Edinburgh preview shows. But first, I caught up with comedian Lauren Pattison a couple of days ago about the tour show she's bringing to the Witham on Thursday the 15th of May. It's called Big Girl Pants.
So it's my first kind of proper tour with a tour producer. So I did my first tour in 2022 with that show. But this is the first time I've had sort of like somebody organising it for us rather than me doing it myself, which is very exciting.
Oh, well, hit the big time now.
No, I don't know what to do with myself.
Looking down at my notes, you've been out since the middle of February. So how's it been going? What sort of reception have you been getting?
It's been going really well. And it's also so I made a decision this year because I did that tour in 2022. I thought, oh, I'm not ready to go up in terms of size of venues, but what I could do is go to some more places, like sort of push myself that way, because I think you should always be pushing yourself as a comedian and like growing in some ways. So I thought that would be a really good thing to do. Weirdly, some of the best shows so far have been these random places that I decided to go to. So I decided to go to Chorley Little Theatre, because I'd heard they've got like a good reputation. I've never gigged there before, but I heard they've got a good reputation for stand-up. And I went to Hanger Farm Arts Centre in Southampton at the weekend because I did a preview there once 3 years ago and had a nice time in front of 12 people. So I thought, well, they obviously like comedy there. And so far, until I come to Bonner Castle, they have been my two favourite shows so That's far. Fun. And if anyone had said, oh, you'll have your best shows in Southampton and Chorley, I'd go, I won't.
Does that mean you managed to get more than 12 in Southampton this weekend then?
I did. I got some of my best numbers in Chorley, Two of my best
Excellent.
numbers, and I thought maybe that just proves that going to obviously it's not that they don't get comedy there, they quite clearly do, but maybe places that other people might miss off. Good way of doing it, but I've had lovely shows and I'm having a lovely time.
Excellent. Tell us a little bit about what Big Girl Pants is all about.
So it's a show about turning 30 and wanting to be braver, because I think that can sometimes be this thing with comedians who've maybe started a bit younger where they act like turning 30 is the end of the world, but I don't think it is. Like, I think it's really ridiculous to think that 30 is old. So I thought, I don't want to do this show that's like, wah, 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 I'm getting older. Isn't that horrible? You're barely getting started. So I thought, I want to do a show that celebrates growing up and celebrates getting older, that looks at ahead positively rather than looking ahead, being like, oh no, oh no, what's to come? Have I got enough time? All of this. So it's about turning 30 and realizing I wanted to be braver and less worried about things and sort of tackling all the anxiety on the head so that I could make 30s the best decade so far.
So are you one of these people who kind of sets 5-year plans for yourself? You want to be doing this by the time you're 25, 30, 35, or whatever.
I used to when I was younger, and then the pandemic happened, and I realized it's maybe not a good thing to do because you never know. Life might sometimes have other plans for you. And I think that was a big lesson for a lot of people during COVID of you can't always plan for everything or prepare for everything. So I like to think I'm a little bit more laid back now. And I'm like, things will happen when they happen. There's no rush to do anything. And just, you might as well just enjoy what you're doing while you're doing it, because sometimes I think you can be so wrapped up in other things that you look back and go, I didn't even think to enjoy that at the time because I was so worried that I also wasn't doing this or I didn't have this. But then you look back and you think, oh, but I've just been a bit happier about having that. And now I always try to just enjoy what I've got, be happy with what I've got, and anything else is a bonus.
Now, you were talking about some of the venues that you've been to on this tour, and putting yourself out into places that you've not been before. Barnard Castle's the complete opposite, isn't it? You're never away from us.
I love Bonner Castle. I love it. I think Bonner Castle must be one of the places that I have performed most, I think. It's got to be. It's got to be. I love it. Lovely venue, lovely audiences, well run. Not every venue ticks all three of those boxes. Some of them struggle to tick one of those boxes.
Now, if I'm right in thinking, this show, Big Girl Pants, that started life as your Edinburgh show last year.
Did,
So
yes.
was the plan always to take it out on tour, or was it because you thought it did so well at Edinburgh, you thought, I can this is something I can do something with?
So weirdly with this one, I didn't know if I was going to tour it because I wasn't sure how I would feel after Edinburgh, and there was a couple of things that I can't really talk about without giving away what happens in the show that I didn't know if would work. So they were kind of working in previews and stuff, but you never know when it goes to Edinburgh, like when it's sort of presented as a full show. So I thought, oh, I don't want to commit to doing a tour until I know for definite, this show works, this show is good, and the show is well received by audiences. So I thought, I'll take it to Edinburgh, I'll see how it goes, and if it goes well, and if all my chances I've taken have paid off, then I'll commit to the tour. And I was really ha I had such a lovely time with it in Edinburgh. So I thought I've got to go on tour with it.
And as you've made your way around the country, obviously you're a Geordie from Newcastle. How does I always think that this part of the world has its own kind of humour. How does that travel as you travel around the country?
Because the Northeast has such a strong identity, I think people tend to know what they get. They sort of expect that from you. So it doesn't come across as a bit like, oh, what is she doing? I think people have got a lot of time for people from the Northeast, and I think we've got quite a good reputation, particularly for comedy. So I think people tend to be quite well receiving of it.
So people are happy to, well, they might not have come across you before, but people have been happy to come and kind of take a chance.
Yeah, well, I had this quite a lot when I went to Australia last time, which would have been 2023. Made a point of putting in my little bio that I was from Newcastle because I know obviously lots of expats in Australia, lots of
Yeah.
backpackers, travellers. So I thought that sort of points to where I'm from, might be the difference between someone buying a ticket or someone not buying a ticket. And I got a lot of Northeast expats coming to my show, and people who they themselves weren't from Newcastle, but their uncle was from Newcastle, or their parent was from Newcastle, but they'd emigrated years ago, and people just came because of that connection. I thought, that's nice. That's something to be happy about.
Now, looking at the list of dates, this current run comes to an end at the back end of June.
Yeah.
So what's the plan after that? Feet up, big holiday, or will you be back up at Edinburgh?
A little bit of more of a relaxed summer, and make the most of not going to Edinburgh, because I was on about this with someone the other day. People think Edinburgh's August, and they go, oh, well, you're just doing a show a day for a month. Like, yeah, it must be hard work, but it's a month. But they don't realise all the previews you have to do in June and July. Often, well, especially if you live in Newcastle, you can't just preview your show in Newcastle because you'd run out of people and places to perform it to. So it's a lot of travelling. I go all over to be able to preview my show. I'll go to London and perform to three people because I'm like, it's a chance to do it. So you spend pretty much all of June and July previewing, and all of August doing the festival, and a lot of April and May writing. So it takes up a big chunk of your year. So I thought, you know what? It'll be nice this year to just have a little bit more of a relaxed summer. And then inevitably, when August comes around, I'll be so jealous of everybody in Edinburgh.
Oh well, enjoy your relaxed summer, and we look forward to seeing you at the Witham on the 15th of May. Lauren, have a great night when you come to see us.
Thank you very much. Looking forward to it.
You're listening to Talking Teasdale.
So continuing the comedy theme, and thanks as ever to Lauren there for chatting to us about the show she's bringing to the Witham. Have you seen that show?
I have a couple of times in different places, yeah. She did it last year at Edinburgh, and I've seen a few work in progress versions of it as well. She did for me at various places. So, yeah, it's great. It's a fabulous show.
Jolly good. I'm chatting to Peter Dixon, by the way. Comedy impresario, second to none.
Oh, you're making me blush, Stuart.
But as we've got a comedy theme going to the podcast this week, I thought we'd chat about some of the comedy shows we've got coming up. And starting with, actually, something that we wouldn't normally talk about probably for at least another month, but your Edinburgh Fringe work in progress shows are starting a bit earlier this year, by the looks of it, end of this month.
Yes, that's right, yeah. And I've been planning them for 6 months, so it feels as though we've kind of almost passed Edinburgh now. Yeah, I've got five shows in Barnard Castle this year, and each one, there is one of the shows has one person coming to do it, but the others have, it's either a double bill if it's a midweek thing. And there's one on a Saturday, the final one, just before the Edinburgh Festival, which is our usual, call it the Edinburgh Fringe Day, where we put on four acts. And yeah, it starts at 5 o'clock. And, you know, most of the tickets that are sold are people who come and see all four of them. So it's the people with stamina generally, but you can buy them individually as well.
I wonder what the collective noun is for comedians, you know.
There must be one.
There's bound to be one somewhere or other. So who's coming up first then? At the end, like I say, the end of this month, May the 29th, I think it is.
Yes, it's a double bill, that one. That's Sam Nikoreski and James Tickery. Trickery, I should say. Yeah, these are two very young, well, young compared to some of us, acts who have just really done one or two sort of hour shows before. So, yeah, very exciting. They're with a company that knows their onions, and you can guarantee that they're going to be very good. So
they're the sort of people that you can, if somebody tips you the wink about them, you'll take it on trust.
That's right, yeah. And they've been nominated and won various festival awards. The Leicester Comedy Festival, both of them have done extremely well at, and you know, nominated for best new show and even best show. So that's something really exciting to look forward to. It's often difficult, I know, with people who are sort of buying tickets, and we have a lot of shows where there's famous people involved, but I do really recommend that you come along to people who are, you know, new stars, and, well, not stars yet.
I was putting Peter Kay out to start somewhere.
He did. And it's funny, I was just thinking when I was coming over here, I remember when we had both Chris Ramsey and... another big actor whose name I've just forgotten. But anyway, Chris Ramsey on at the Parish Hall in Barnard Castle, and I had 140 tickets to sell, and I only sold 100. And Ramesh Ranganathan at the Witham, we only sold about 100 tickets for that. And now, you'd have to break down a wall to get a ticket.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, and then, so we move into June. He says, putting his glasses on. I've put the wrong ones on as well. It's a comedy of errors going on in here today. What can you tell us about Joe Kent Walters and Jack Gledow, is it?
Jack Gledow.
Gledow.
Yeah. Oh, well, honestly, this isn't a sales pitch, but this is the show that I am most excited about for the whole year. Joe Kent Walters, I saw his show last year about 3 or 4 times in different places. And he is one of the most exciting comedy acts to come up in, well, for a long, long time, 5 or 6 years, I remember. There's a comedian called John Kearns who was starting to become very famous. And it's not like John Kearns, but he's kind of like unusual in the same way that he was and still is. But if you like his sort of League of Gentlemen sort of show, he is right up your street. Because both of us are staring at the picture, which nobody else but us can see at the minute. But he wears he's a character. He plays a character, right. Frankie Monroe, who runs a working men's club in Rotherham. And he wears this, he says it's pseudocreme. I don't know whether it is, but a white face. And he is like a ghostly figure. And there is elements of sort of ghostliness in the actual show as it happens, because he was murdered at the end of his last show, but he's coming back from the dead this one. But that sounds like a horror thing, but it's not. It's so funny, and he is such a fantastic character. He's absolutely incredible.
Good stuff.
And Jack Gledow, he is, it's very hard to describe Jack. He's very sort of knockabout. He's like a modern-day Norman Wisdom, would be the best way of describing him. So that's going to be a cracking night. That.
So a little bit of physical comedy there as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, very much so. Yeah.
Now, speaking of the tour posters that we can see in front of us, I'm intrigued as to what Lachlan Verner might be all about.
Yeah, he's kind of doing a pose, isn't he? He's like a strong man. And he's playing a character again as like a circus entertainer. And I saw his show, his last big show, a couple of years ago. And the thing about him is he's a ventriloquist. Oh. But he's not your traditional ventriloquist where he sits a dummy on his knee. It's a bit more spookier than that. And he like treats as a character, and he doesn't kind of introduce himself as a ventriloquist. Or he certainly didn't in the show I saw. But it's like almost a two-man show. With one person. And this show, he's acting like, as I say, a circus performer. And again, it's a bit unusual. It's not your straightforward come out and talk, you know, for an hour and do regular stand-up. It's very much a character sort of thing and very much a storyline. And, you know, it's a little bit different. And it's one of those things where it's only 11 quid, you know. By the time you brought a couple of pints, you'd have paid more than that, I would think.
It sounds almost verging on a little bit theatrical.
Yeah, he's got loads and loads of props. We had to kind of spend quite a bit of time working out whether we could physically do it inside the room. So, it's going to be a great, great night, I'm sure. Yeah, even if you kind of think, well, I don't want to go and see that again, you will remember the experience.
I was going to say, it's another one to take a chance on by the look of that. Now, I think these are both a couple of names that people might recognise. We've certainly had Connor Burns before, haven't we?
Yeah.
And Craig Hill. Is it Craig Hill?
Craig Hill.
I should really get my eyes tested. Let's not go down that road. But I recognise his name as well. So at least Connor Burns has been here before.
Both of them have. Craig Hill's been at least a couple of times. Each time doing work in progress shows, he doesn't tend to do a lot of tour shows. He's a Scottish comedian, but he performs mostly in Scotland. But every time I've had him on a bill, he has come out and he's totally encapsulated the audience. He's taken them in, and everybody says, "Oh, it was the best thing on," and all this sort of thing. So I'm expecting a lot of people who've seen him before to come back. And he's been around, you know, at Edinburgh. He's famously does Edinburgh every year. And he comes up with sort of innuendo type titles for his show, which we probably oughtn't to even read out this current one.
No, we'll gloss over that.
But Ed Connor Burns, he, again, a young comedian who is definitely going to be a big star one day. He is absolutely fantastic. He writes brilliantly. First time he was with us, we've done every one of his shows in one form or another. It was about 3 or 4 years ago he came to Barnard Castle. And it was one of the days when we had 4 shows on. And he shone. He was the best of the 4 of them. He was very, very good.
And speaking of the Fab Four,
yes,
on Saturday the 26th of July, the Edinburgh preview season comes to a crescendo, a finale with Eric Rushton, Suze Kempner, Marjolaine Robertson and Gavin Webster. Now, Gavin Webster, I'm pretty sure, is yes. a name many yes. people around here will be familiar yeah. with. We've had him before, I think.
Yeah, he's been to Barnard Castle a few times before. He's brilliant comedy act, and he's probably one of the Northeast's most famous comedians at the moment. He fills the Tyne Theatre every year with a show that he does, and he's a regular at the Stand Comedy Club in Newcastle. I saw him not very long ago recording a radio programme for the BBC. Again, that was at the Stand, and there was 5 acts on, some of the really big names. And he just outshone the whole of the night. He was absolutely fantastic. And it made me realise how good he was. It was actually the day after that I rang him up and said, Gavin, I don't know why I didn't ask you before, Gavin, but please come through and fill my final spot for the for this four act bill.
Excellent stuff. Well, plenty there to tempt us with over the coming weeks with Edinburgh previews. You'll have already got your travel arrangements and your accommodation booked for this year's Fringe, as always.
Yeah, I keep saying I'm not going to spend as much time there next year, and then I book extra days. So I'm there most of the month this year. I'm coming back a little bit in the middle week, and people who know me are just finding this out just now, actually.
Very good. Well, that's brilliant. So we look forward to all these wonderful preview shows. And as Peter says, a lot of the acts will be won't be well known to us out here, but do take a chance.
And for full details, go online to www.funnywaytobe.com. So thanks very much for Peter for putting us in the picture there with all that's coming up as far as Edinburgh preview comedy shows are concerned. Jane's back for a little bit of what's on. So as I was chatting to Peter there, can you think of a collective noun for comedians?
Chuckle?
That's not a bad one. Chuckle of comedians. Yeah, that would work.
It will.
Absolutely. From now on, it'll be a chuckle of comedians. I'll immediately go on to Google and see if anybody's made something up before us.
Yeah.
I don't know. Right. What's on? And a couple of announcements.
Yes, big announcements.
Big announcements. These ones are. Go on. Give us the first one. We're talking folk rock legends.
Yes. So just on sale is Steel Eye Span.
All Around My Hat. I'm not going to sing it. I can't sing it.
Oh, I'm disappointed.
We tried this earlier and it was unbearably awful, even more so than usual. 2 of us were trying it and both of us were as badly out of tune as each other.
And it wasn't me.
Yes. But yes, Steel Eye Span, Maddie Pryor, All Around My Hat, that sort of thing. When are they coming?
They are coming Monday the 24th of November.
Excellent.
And the tickets are selling like hotcakes.
I'm not surprised because if you like your Fairport conventions, you're going to want to get to your Steel Eye Spans as well.
Yeah.
They've both been around about as long as each other. I think Fairport Convention started in 68 and Steel Eye Span came along a year later and have been here ever since.
Yep.
Excellent. That's a good one to look forward to. And who else?
We have the Unthanks.
Ah, now they're from Northumberland, where I do believe.
Yeah, and they are coming on Monday again, Monday the 8th of December.
Excellent. And they're doing, I've looked this up. You see, my research is on point this week.
Yes.
They're celebrating 20 years with a tour of small intimate venues.
Yeah.
Of which we're one.
We are, and we're the last one on their tour.
All sorts of end of tour shenanigans there. I'm not duty managing that night. Who knows what might happen on the last night of a tour.
I don't think anybody has Monday as their usual night. So, you know, it might be up for grabs.
Fancy finishing a tour on a Monday night.
No.
You know, can you imagine hitting Barney on a Monday night after finishing your tour? You might be in for a little disappointment. So two excellent shows coming up later in the year. And a couple of shows we mentioned the other week, but probably worth another mention because they promised to be excellent. Mm-hmm. Josie N. Clark sings Sandy Denny.
Yep.
This Thursday.
That's right.
Should be good.
Downstairs in the music hall.
Excellent. And then on Friday, we've got dear old Lonnie Donegan, The Stories.
Yeah. His sons.
Oh no!
Singing a few songs.
Peter and
Anthony.
Anthony, thank you. On there. So that should be an excellent night for all Skiffle fans.
16th of I was going to say December then. 16th of
May.
May. It's May. Is it May?
You've been working too hard. And then one we should mention for the following week, which should be an interesting evening, Lee Mead.
Yes.
Wednesday the 21st of May.
Yes, he's coming with a live band.
All right.
And he's singing all sorts of show tunes. And I think he's had a few albums, so he's singing songs from that and maybe a few new songs as well.
He's quite... His sort of background's West End shows,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, it is, yeah. Joseph.
Ah,
he
that's
was on
it.
The...
That's it.
Yeah, yeah. Audition for Find the New Joseph, and he won that.
That was the one. I knew, yeah.
Yes.
Very good.
Yes.
Right, come on then. Where can we find out details of all these wonderful shows that are coming up?
On the website.
At?
www.thewitham.org.uk.
Or you can call?
The box office.
On?
01833 631107.
Excellent.
I think I've cracked it now.
Absolutely. Mm. That was without a crib sheet this week.
It was.
Very good. You've passed.
I'm an automatic pilot.
You've passed your contacts examination. Very good. Well, that's it for this week, Jane. Thank you very much. Go and get your head down and grab a 40 winks, 80 winks, 120 winks.
Yes.
Something like that. And we'll be back next time. Let's play All Around My Hat.
Okay.
To play out this
All
week.
All right, then. But not you singing it.
No.
No.
And we'll be back soon.
Right. See you later.
Toodle-bye. Bye.
All around my hat I will wear the green willow, and all around my hat for a 12-month and a day. And if anyone should ask me the reason why I'm wearing it, it's all for my true love, who's far, far away. I will wear the green willow and all around my hat for a 12-month and a day. And if anyone should ask me the reason why I'm wearing it, it's all for my true love who's far, far away. All around my hat I will wear the green willow, and all around my hat for a 12-month and a day. And if anyone should ask me the reason why I'm wearing it, it's all.
Thanks for listening. We'll be talking Teasdale again soon. In the meantime, please spread the word, like, share and subscribe, or go online to thewitham.org.uk.